Ownership is all about building on your own success with your own self-discovery. Your life is your business. Take ownership of it. Together, let's unlock the next level of your life. Ownership is here to help lead you without all the noise and distractions. There are hot topics and lessons in life to keep you entertained, gain value, and even some enlightenment all along the way. Ownership is brought to you by Allison Andrews Cantor, a certified coach and business leader with over 20 years of experience under her belt. A battle-born and proven successful entrepreneur, she is on a mission to help individuals take back ownership of their personal life. So are you ready? Let's go. Here she is, your host, Allison Andrews Cantor.
All right, here we go. I can't believe it. We are at episode lucky number 13. Yes, that's what we're talking about, 13. And today's topic is love. Amore. Amor. Love. Love, love, love.
Should have like a Dean Martin backing track with That's Amore playing in the background on this one. I could totally do that. That's Amore.
I love some Dean. I have no problem with that. Or Blue Eyes or any of them. I love me some good crooners. That's great stuff. Mm-hmm. Definitely gets you in the mood. But.
Who are you with?
I love my kids.
I love my kids. You just defaulted. I love my kids. Who are you with right now?
What do you mean?
Hi.
We're talking about love. Are you asking about if I'm with a lover?
We're talking about love.
I'm joking. I'm here in studio right now. No, I wanted to see how long it would take. Oh my God. Drink your coffee, Allison. Maybe we shouldn't be filming episode 13 today.
Yeah, episode 13. Here we go. Here we go. She's drinking coffee, so I want to make sure there's no awkward silences here. I'm producer Jay, work husband, producer extraordinaire of the Ownership Podcast, here with my host, Allison.
I kind of like that we flipped it. We might start doing this. This maybe was an intentional accident.
Was it?
I don't know. I believe everything happens for a reason. So maybe you needed to intro yourself so you could hear your long ass sentence of a title and decide to maybe cut some fat. I don't know.
No.
We're going to keep it. We're just going to keep stacking it, I think.
Yes, okay. We are.
Yes. We're here. Episode 13. Thank you for tuning in, listening, subscribing, sharing, doing what you lovely subscribers, followers, and fans of ours do. We appreciate you so, so much.
Yeah. Be sure to hit that subscribe button, you know?
Yeah. Share this stuff. We are going to be talking about love. The L-O-V-E.
The 143. Remember when you used to do that on your pagers or the
oh my God.
The 143.
Yeah. Just made me think about all the other stuff we'd put in like a calculator too. That's funny.
Boobies.
Always boobies. Always. First go. Doesn't matter who you are.
Wait, real quick. Oh, wow. Somebody said that to me in a meme on Instagram the other day.
It was me.
It was me.
I think it was honestly, it wasn't me. I'm going to go look right now.
Wait.
It was probably me. That's something I would do because it's so fun.
This is the thing. I get random memes from Allison throughout
the
day.
They have to be so ridiculous. It was you.
Hold on. I'm looking too.
That's when you know we're good friends.
Oh God.
When I send you really retarded memes.
Remember the days with calculators where you put, I can't get to my messages.
We'll find it. And then you can show it and post.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, no, it was me because I think I shared it with you. I shared it with my best friend, Jeff. I shared that one with all like my homie boys because it's funny and you guys are boys and you like boobs.
Wait. Yes.
It was me.
Here it is. Oh, I'm going to show the camera.
Yeah.
This is the thing she sent me. Me in the eighth grade and you're laughing because you can put boobies in the
camera. Okay. So if you're listening to this right now, this is why you should go to
it's
YouTube
the 80s,
and watch it.
90s. Yeah. It's yeah.
And then you can see what the proof. Yeah, that would be something. And the best part is it's Leonardo DiCaprio.
Django Unchained.
Yes, with that silly face of his. Yeah, anyways, whatever. Okay, so let's talk love because obviously we're deflecting really hard here.
I think you're right. We're deflecting a little bit right now because it's, you know, would you say it's an awkward topic to have a conversation about?
I think today it's awkward because literally when you were setting up the ownership studio and I was sitting here coming off the event that we had last night together, our work event. And you noticed I had a beautiful bouquet of flowers.
I did. I most certainly did.
From a potential suitor.
She's got many of those.
I do have many.
But.
It's quality, not quantity. and I am willing to wait. And what I have found is when you are not available, everybody seems to want you.
Isn't that crazy? When you're
nothing different other than being actually honest and saying, I don't think I'm not on any apps. I'm not going on any dates. I'm not wearing that pair ring. We did a whole dating episode. You should listen to it. I am not actively looking.
You're not actively searching for love, but somehow, some way, love is finding you.
Or is it?
But well, I don't know.
Lust or is it love?
You have to tell. You got guys sending you flowers. I don't know if that's. I don't know if that's lust or love or infatuation.
I think I carry that weight a lot. I think that's a big thing with.
Are men infatuated with you?
Well, I'm not. I don't want to talk about myself. I don't want to talk about myself.
Oh, are you kidding me? This is great stuff. Let's talk about you for a second. Are men infatuated with you?
Jay, are men infatuated with me?
I don't know. I don't know. You are they infatuated with you?
I don't know. Yeah. I think they're.
Yes.
You want me to say yes? I'm not going to say. I don't know.
Dude sending you flowers. What can I tell you something straight up? Sending a woman flowers is one of the most romantic things you can do as a man. Because
I'm a big flower girl. Well, it's a big marker for me.
It's not even that. It's
the thoughtfulness.
It's the thoughtfulness. It's the effort. But it's also just the fact that when you least expect it, whether they show up at work or whether they show up at home or whether they show up at home because home is also work.
Or on location.
Oh, they showed up on location too?
One at home, one at location.
I love, can I tell you something? This is one of the first podcast episodes where you're actually on the hot seat and you're being very, very quiet right now.
My personal life is my personal life.
Okay. Oh, God.
I plead the fifth. No, you know what? Here's the thing about love. I love love. I mean, I introed that same statement on the dating podcast. I love love. I'm a romantic. I will tell you, the man that I choose to be with or pick to be my boyfriend, he will know the art of romance because I expect such, and I would not want to be with anything less than that. So for me, those flowers is a gesture that the right man for me would do that on his own accord. I would never have to say it. And not that I expect it, but I'm not shocked by it because the quality of the man I would be with and spend my time with or even entertain, he would be doing those gestures. And evidence speaks for itself.
It's a very beautiful bouquet, by the way, too.
I know. It was very pretty.
He did a very good job. He'd get a high five from me. Maybe high 10.
Aww.
And a pat on the back.
Aww. But no slap on the ass. Like, good job, sport.
Maybe.
I'm just trying to deflect and bring humor now, too.
Maybe like a bro hug. Like, bring it on here, buddy. Good job.
Knuckles.
Knuckles. Dude would totally get a good job, buddy.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Anyways, but love, you know, at the end of the day, I love love and I love romance, but I think for this podcast episode, it's not just that infatuation, send flowers, lusty love that we're kind of playing with right now. I think we're talking about the actual emotion, the heart space of love. For example, I love my children. I love my animals. I have love for you. I mean, last night we had our event together and I had my work wife, and she was the first one to coin this, and I felt okay after she did it, which is very funny, almost like in a dating relationship. Like, there's always first one person to say, I love you. And then after, it's like a flood of I love yous, right? It's like the floodgate has opened, but that first one out of the gate, it's like,
it's always cautiousness. It's like, oh, should
and
I say
who's going to do it? Do we do it together? Uh-huh. Do we, you know, Rochambeau and boom, I love you. You know, like, what are we doing here? You know, she coined and called us. She said, you're my soulmate. And she did this years ago. And I'm like, oh my God, you're totally my soulmate too. And it's weird. And it has nothing to do with sex, nothing to do with attraction.
It's a platonic relationship that is just very,
it's
very,
a
very
soul, yep, identifying with another soul where I see her, she sees me, and we are so intertwined like twin flames. There is no other word that does it justice, really, than soulmate. It encapsulizes, embodies the significance and value of our relationship at that deep, higher, even higher level than just work wife, best friend. It's wild. And so when we're talking about love, it's not just this romantic love. It's this feeling of love. And I very much believe in giving out love. And I'm a weird juxtaposition here because I don't like people, especially in my industry, entertainment, fashion, makeup, hair. You always get the, oh, I love you, love you, love you, love you, love you.
There's no substance behind it.
Bingo. It means bullshit. I don't do that. Okay. But I do believe that if you feel love for someone or something, you should give it freely. I never withhold it. And I wasn't always this way. I don't know if there was some point in my life where this unlocked and became a thing, but people need to know they're loved. And love doesn't always have to be a transactional thing. You don't have to give love to receive it. And you don't have to give it expecting for it to even be reciprocated. I think love too is something that doesn't have to be verbalized. I can't tell you how many times in a day or a life or in a situation where I'm an observer, a voyeur, and I witness a couple just doing them. They're not aware of anyone around them. They're not putting on a show. They're just doing what they do. And I love their love for each other. And I can see it, respect it, and be with it and appreciate it. And I send them love because I can see their love. It's like compounding love. It's an energetic thing. It doesn't even have to be verbalized. I don't even know who these people are, but I love them. You know, and how many times have you seen somebody or met somebody or looked afar or witnessed something and was like, oh, I love that person, and you send them love?
A couple times. You know, I think the biggest one that I've ever had was I walked in on my parents dancing in the kitchen.
Oh my God, that would be so beautiful.
It was. It was one of those moments where
that's so sweet. Of course. How old were you?
Oh God, this happened just recently. Happened in like a.
That's even better.
A couple years ago.
Because then you really understand the significance of it as an adult more than like a child. A child would be like, ew, or you know, it would be silly. But as an adult, you're like, oh wow, that's cool. But I mean, that's a moment.
If you know me, my parents actually the other day just celebrated 51 years of marriage.
That's incredible.
And so, but this was happened a couple years ago. So maybe they were about. They were like,
that's okay, but you were an adult.
I was an adult.
It's a different perspective.
Of course,
that's
I pulled
valuable.
Out my phone and I film it.
Oh my gosh,
if you
cute.
Follow me on Instagram, you'd see it on there. But it was one of those moments where I'm just going, these are two people that truly love one another, that truly, you know, have been through all the ups and downs that a marriage can bring. And you just can't sit back but go,
see? Yeah. Love sometimes doesn't even have to be. You don't even have to be involved in it to send it out and receive it.
You don't.
Like that moment, did it fill your heart?
Oh, it filled my heart and my cup.
See?
It gave me, in that moment, this is going to sound really cheesy. In that moment, it gave me hope as a single man that I will be able to find my person and be able to be cheesy like that in the kitchen when a romantic song comes on, sitting there dancing and holding each other and be in that lovable moment. And we go, that was really sweet and cute. You know, it gave me hope about that. Every so often I have to go back to that. So it gives me the continued hope to find that, but it does.
Yeah. Love is, I mean, that's what we live for. That's what life is all about, is love. You know, finding love, making love, creating love. It's real simple when you think about it that way, right? We're made in love, or we should be. Let's not get too human on it with our deficits that come with character in our world. But let's think about it. We're made from love. Then we make love. Then we create love. It's a very interesting cycle if you think about it like that.
It is. And you know, we all want to have someone that looks at us and loves us the way we look at them and love them. You know.
Yeah, but it doesn't always have to be a romantic partner.
Well, it doesn't have to be a romantic partner.
And can't you have multifaceted love too? I love you.
Because you're one of these wonderful people that I've had in my life on a constant basis for so long. And it's you and I, we have that. And I'm always going to be like, that's my girl. you know. You can't take it with it.
You actually have a really sweet name for me. That's very sweet.
I do.
I'm not going to make you have to say it on the podcast.
Thank you. We can keep
it personal between us.
Thank you.
But he has a little nickname for me. And I only have a couple guys in my life that have nicknames for me. And there's three of them. And you're one of the three.
Yes.
Yeah. And they're priceless to me. And if anybody else were to call me those names, I'd be like, who is this imposter? You are not allowed to call me that. You do not have the right to call me that, actually.
But I think what it is a bond.
Yeah, it's a bond.
It is a bond. You and I are wonderful friends.
Yeah.
And I think that our friendship surpasses that even more because of the fact is that you know for a fact that if anything were to happen to me, you would be like right there for me.
Totally.
Same thing for you. It's like if anything happened to you or the kids, I'm like, what do you need me to do?
Yeah.
And it's that appreciation, that love that we have for one another that propels our friendship in a way that cannot really be, you know, you can't really quantify it.
No. And then there's even friendship love. Like, I'm very fortunate that I've been able to, you know, get out of America and go to other countries and have relationships in other countries. And there's friendships where I haven't seen in person some people for 10 years, which is insane to say that, but life, marriage, kids, you know, career, you get in that phase of your life where you might not be able to physically be in the same space with people you love and have respect for and have deep friendships and ties with. But I'll tell you what, if we pick up the phone or if we were to get in each other's space, it's like,
you can pick up. You can pick up right where you left off.
If not stronger even.
Yeah.
Because now with social media, we all are up to date. We know what's going on. We just might not physically be in that presence of space, but we're all up to date. So when you do get in that space, it's just compounded too.
Yeah. And I get what you're saying. It's like you can pick up right where you left off and no time has passed.
Yeah.
You know, the thing great about social media is that we're all in each other's lives, but we don't always have to be presently right then and there in somebody's life. You know, it's one of these things like, oh, somebody had a baby or somebody got married or somebody, you know, all this stuff. It's like that.
So one of the things with love that I write in the book about, because obviously I love and I'm all about it, is love actually never ends. It just changes. It modifies. But I don't believe you can ever not love somebody you've loved.
I agree.
And I mean, I'm serious about this. And it's a hard challenge for people who have been in relationships that have been abusive.
Yes.
Or hurtful. But I mean, the best example of this is there's a million of us out there that can say that they maybe don't like their parents, but they love their parents. We hear that a lot. You can dislike someone's behavior, their character, what they've done, their actions, and you can make the modifications, boundaries, and choices not to interact with them, but you can still have love for them. You know, I believe true love stories never end. I literally am looking right now into my master bedroom and I can see that there and I have it there. And I love that statement because I feel like love is never ending and love is free and love is universal and love is very multifaceted, but at the same time, it's extremely simplistic and pure. And the heart is the heart and it doesn't need to be complicated. And it's very easy if you can be comfortable with yourself and your emotions and your reality to be able to hold space and say, I don't like this person, but I can love them. I can still give them love, or I can appreciate the moments that I wasn't aware of all these things I'm aware of now. And the love that I had for them then was actual real love. I'm not going to take away from it, but I just realized they are not the person to maybe put all that love into.
Yes. And I'm going to add a little bit more to that topic because in romantic relationships.
Yeah. I guess this would be very romantic. No, it could also be like, I can think about like parents and kids and other things too.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, this could apply a little bit there, but go ahead where you're going with romantic love.
Romantic relationships. You could be lucky and you find your person at a really young age and like my parents and you're married forever and ever. But for some of us, like myself, where you are trying to find somebody that matches up, there are people that can come into your life and there's two ways you can look at it. There's a difference between being in love with somebody and loving somebody. Mm. You know,
What if you've had both with one person?
I have.
Yeah, I did that too.
I was incredibly in love with somebody and just head over heels, thought that after all this time I had found my person and I was going to continue to be with them and this was it. Unfortunately, circumstances didn't work out that way. And they still hold in a huge space in my heart because I do love them as a person. I think they're a wonderful person, but we just didn't work out together.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the correlation needs to understand. You could love anybody. If you really put your heart into it, you can really love anybody. But there's a difference between being in love with somebody than just loving someone.
So we're talking about like active love versus like reflective general love.
Sure.
Like there's an active state of love, loving.
Yeah.
Versus like a non-active,
but I think
I hold love for them.
But
like, yes. For example, when I got married, I mean, I'm old school. So I fell in love. I was in love with my ex-husband. I mean, he was my person. We went all in. I mean, he was my beloved. I was here for all of it, you know, lifer here. But I don't feel that way right now. I don't see him with that filter on. That's not how I see him. But I would lie if I said I didn't love him. I mean, he's the father of my children.
Exactly.
I will love him forever. I loved our time together and I would never take away from the significance of the love I gave to him and felt for him when our time as a married couple was, when it was real. It was authentic. Those were real emotions. That was real life. This isn't just a let's play house. I mean, that was real love. You don't manufacture that. I at least didn't manufacture that. So I will never pull away or make that less significant because of our circumstance of outcome. But it's not active love like that. I'm not actively in love with that man.
No, and that's exactly the point that I'm getting at. It's like for me, my ex-wife, did I love her at one point in time? Absolutely. But, you know, will I always have a spot for her deep down inside because she's the mother of my child? Absolutely.
Totally get that. So let me ask you this, Jay.
Shoot.
Because I think this is an interesting thing that I'm exploring now. And I've had a lot of different talks and, you know, I like to get into philosophy talks and metaphysical talks and all this stuff and go down those rabbit holes, especially with more intellectual people than myself. That's the best. But there's a theory going around and some people take it to extreme levels, but I think there might be some validity to aspects of it. That you can only do that type of love. Like, I am actively in love with you. You are my person and go that dance only so many times. And part of that is just a time thing. I'm talking the real stuff, not the lust stuff where we go a couple months later, 6 months later. I'm talking years here. We're talking time here. We're not talking a 6 month, I'm in love, lust, love bombing, gaslighting, your trauma, my trauma. We're healing each other's wounds. We're caught up in that sauce. I'm not talking that stuff. Take that out of this equation. I'm talking the real, I'm invested. We're in active love. You're my person. Let's go the distance. Let's go there. And really, let's say, go there. You get married, you date, you fall in love, it's your person, you get married, and you have a marriage, however length of time. There are only so many times you could physically, mentally, emotionally, and with our longevity, age, biological factors, do that. Do you feel like there might be a cap on that?
Yes and no.
It's kind of not cool when you say it like that, right? It's so, kind of so, like, no, you feel like, what?
So
I have an internal fight. I love this conversation.
Okay, so this is a fun one.
No, I'm telling you, I've gone down way rabbit holes on this one. Like really rabbit holes. Where then we get into biology about like pair bonding. I mean, this goes into really interesting areas.
So after... it's been 4 years since my relationship ended with my ex fiance.
Yeah.
And this was the person I was really like, this is it, dude. Yes. Started doing my thing, started getting some books. Got this book, You Only Fall in Love 3 Times, The Secret Search for Our Twin Flame. I started really doing some stuff because I'm a lover. I am romantic. I am in the search for the person that is my equal, that is my best friend, that is my partner and stuff like this. I know that you, wait, go ahead. I see you right now. Go ahead.
I'm sad because I've been so blessed and so fortunate to have deep, deep love.
Yeah.
And my fear, And the reason why I go down this rabbit hole lot is that I've done that. I did it. I have those bonds. I have those, those seats are filled. I've got my quota. So I get, and they're not lovers. Some of them are same sex friendships and twin flames at that level. So that's when this other dichotomy comes in is love, is there different levels of that? Like, you know, sexual partner, friend partner. But then is it diluting that whole bandwidth of true love? And then you have to go back. It's like the chicken or the egg stuff, right? We're talking chicken or the egg stuff. We could go all day long right here,
chicken
right?
Chicken first. I could
do that too. I'm telling you, I can go. I like to debate. That's the problem. I like to debate and to flex my mind and see different vantage points and play with both.
But here's my thing. Is that people come into our lives at certain periods of time.
Correct.
That are supposed to do one of two things. They are supposed to teach us about ourselves a little bit and about our environment.
Yeah.
Or they teach us about each other, teach us about ourselves, but we grow with them.
Yeah.
Okay. And so what you're getting at is that you have people in your life that are your twin flames.
But I only have one twin flame I've ever met like me. Okay. A true definition of a twin flame, and she died of cancer.
Okay. But what I'm saying was with some of the relationships that you have in your is you probably have women that are the same sex, have opposite sex, you and me. Okay. Do I think that you're my soulmate? No, but do I think that you're somebody very, very buddy, really, really close to my heart? Absolutely. Now, what I'm talking about is when you love somebody that is your soulmate and that is your best friend, that is your partner, that
fits the whole puzzle piece, not a section, all those components, one
right
piece,
there.
That's them. Boom.
Yes.
Oh, then I don't.
I've never experienced that before.
I have. I actually think I have.
I thought I got close to it.
No, I think I might have gotten one there.
I thought I got close
to
it.
There's two that I'm toggling between right now, and they're not they weren't my ex-husband.
And
I think the reason why I didn't go there is because I was too young and too career driven. And I come from a family that's like, no, you're doing shit right now. You're not going there. You need to ditch him and go experience the world, experience life, like build your empire. Do you like there is no, that's not the thing. That's not how you do. That's not the thing. And I'm analytical and I'm driven. And I think I let that factor in. But then again, if that didn't happen, I wouldn't be.
Exactly.
I wouldn't have to think. That's a fun little rabbit hole of what would my life look like then, you know?
They're defining moments in your life that make you go back and go,
You know what's funny, though, is check this out since we're talking about that. So the other day, this is the only reason why I'm bringing this up is because this is so funny, because this is how I'm validating my statement right now through a situation. The other day I was on the phone with my mom and I said, you will not believe who I saw.
Who did you see?
Not a big deal. It was like, I don't know. I think like a girl that maybe used to come to like a fashion show event that I did or something like that. It was nothing at this level. My mom sent a gentleman's name that I dated in my 20s that could potentially be what you just said. And my mom, who's almost 70, I'm almost 40. We're talking about a 20-year period of somebody I dated for 3 years in my early 20s. That's the name my mom drew out of the hat, out of everything that it could have been. That's the name. So that's what that's my point.
Wow.
So right now when you're saying that and I'm thinking about, you know, in my mind, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? The person that I'm kind of going, that could have been the horse. That could have been the money on that horse.
But here's
my
thing.
Mother.
Oh, your mother. Sweet woman she is.
Debatable. Mom, if you're listening, you know I'd say that, so I'm sorry. I mean, call the kettle black. Anyways, so here we go. out of all the people in this world, that would be more relevant right now. She could have said my baby daddy. She could have said my ex-husband. She could have said an employee. She could have said the person I sold a business to. There's a lot of more things that would be within a time scope make more sense. That's the name my mom threw out at me the other day.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What was this book you're referencing?
Anyhow, back to the topic at hand. We went off on that.
No, but that's what you're saying. I think there is some validity to that potentially, that really define when we're talking about the romantic love and love for the true mirrored version of the love, the ideal love, the partner love, that best friend, that partner, lover, that partner, that person, the soulmate, the twin flame, that all of that, that beautiful pie, that complete pie of an individual that is what we're embodying that love with. Okay. I think I might've experienced it once, and I'm using my mother 20 years later, validating that that was it. And she even could pick it up and recognize it. Because like I said to you, we can see, and like you just said, we can observe real love.
Yes.
We know when two people have found each other.
Yeah.
You can see it, you can feel it, you can smell it, you can taste it, and you don't even have to know who those two individuals are or anything about them.
I did. I saw
my
that.
Point is, I've seen it with strangers, you saw it with your parents.
Yep.
My mother from 20 years back is echoing. And the only reason why this is coming up is because you literally just said what you said, and it made me think about, have I ever had a pie and that person was the one that popped up? Isn't that interesting?
It is.
Oh, but so funny. I would never go bark up that tree. I would never go back to it. And I have
isn't
no desire
crazy?
To.
But here's the funny thing. Isn't
we are
crazy?
So different people. Like, I know what's going on. We're not connected, but you know, but I know where he's at in life and I know where I'm at. And obviously I'm living my life, and I'm telling you right now, even if I were to call him, I don't think there'd be anything there.
And here's the funny thing.
I don't even think we would be compatible as, old colleague friends.
Yeah.
Just, let's go grab a coffee. I don't even think we'd be at that level.
And here's the huge funny thing. I'm with you on that, because the fact is that the way that it doesn't matter what the breakup was or whatever. I'm like, you look back and you're going, well, yeah, they hit certain parts, but now that I look about it, was it just this?
Okay, so let me throw this one out again. Listen, or was it because that was the first time I experienced maybe what adult relationship love looks like. And that was the first one that
possibly was
so close to all of those
possibly
things. Maybe some of it partly could have been manufactured because of youth, optimism, age, ignorance is a huge factor.
I want to be not reality. No, don't say that. What I'm going to say is that possibly. Possibly it could have been that stuff, but I don't want to take that away because, again,
you can't take away love. I said that in the
exactly.
beginning of this.
You
love is love.
Love
and
is
if
love.
You've given love, it's okay.
Let it lay. So I don't want to take it away. I don't want to think that it was just all the stuff where you're like coming of age and all this other stuff. No, obviously there was a connection. You spent 3 years of your life with this person, right?
That's not a bit for if I'm in a relationship, my average with somebody is 3 until my marriage. I go.
Well, you're doing a lot better than me.
No,
so.
I literally look at it as the first year is just, you know, casual, you date, whatever. Second year, like serious boyfriend, girlfriend. Third year, if they're not your
Damn.
Person, you need to shit or get off the pot. After 3 years, you know what you're doing with a person. You know if you can go further or not. It's just up to you if you have the guts to make
call.
But wait, good to close. I'll close a business and restart a business. Everybody is. They'll hold it on and they'll get loans from the bank. They'll borrow from their family. They'll live in their car. I'm like, close that bitch. Liquidate assets. Let's go.
Let's put a perspective
on
this.
I'm trying to laugh because it's been a long day and I'm tired. I love this subject, but it's exhausting.
Let's put a perspective on it. How old were you when this was going on?
20s.
Okay. So I'm going to.
My second like real adult relationship.
I was 40. Having already been married and divorced as briefly as it was. I thought that this person was the thing. But here's the thing, as you were saying, if I look back on that, I'm going, yeah, it was good, but was it really, should it really have been that point? And I don't want to take anything away from the other person because the other person was wonderful, but I'm going, was I thinking in my head, this was my person without really like going through all the facts and going, this is what makes it up.
Because probably.
That's where the gray area, and I'm talking about this really huge gray area of where the love and the infatuation in that love bubble can kind of like...
That's why you got to go 3 years.
Blur.
It's really year two. Year two is the money year.
I'm running out of friggin' time.
Year two is the money year. Year one is bullshit. It's all good. Time. It's all lollipops and
At this point, I'm
going to
be 50 before I get married again.
That's
if
all right.
I even get married again.
That's okay. You're a dude. You're fine. You just got good. I'm telling you, men in 50s is my sweet spot. I'm all about the 50-year-olds. That's where it's at. You guys are perfect at that age. You got your shit together. You're not dumb. You're not trying to chase younger than girls that it's not sustainable. Like,
yes.
You finally figured out your life.
You
finally got it together.
I haven't
hopefully.
Chased a younger girl in God knows how long.
You know, love is so multifaceted, and there's so many aspects of love, and it's the chicken or the egg. I mean, there's so many different ways to talk about it, look at it, debate it, say what's right, say what's wrong, what makes it true, what makes it not so true, what's infatuation, what's lust, what's deep, what's soul united, what's meant to be, what's Bashart, if you know, it's like, there's so many different ways to tackle it.
Do you believe it? You brought up a very good point, but do you believe that your soulmate, your person, whether they start off as just a BFF or whatever, do you believe your person is out there? Your soulmate, your.
I feel like my soulmate is not of, I feel like my soulmate for this lifetime, truthfully, this is what I struggle with. I very much can see it in one of my children. I could cry. Like, I feel like I'm going to cry. I don't think that's my lifetime here is not for, I think that's why I love so much, because it's that, it's the idea and it's the romance and it's that fantasy and it's all those things, because that's the space I actually live in. And I know that well. I think if you're talking about that one puzzle piece that you're talking about,
yeah.
I see that in one of my kids. There's one particular child that I'm like, I don't know who could ever compete with that kid. And I don't even care to attempt or try. I'm very satisfied. I'm very content. And it's intimidating, because then it's like, okay, what do? You just go like, okay, this person will do this. This is close enough, but I'm not closed off to it. But my gut and my first reaction is do I think my soulmate is here on this earth? Absolutely. And have I met them? Yeah, absolutely.
You brought up a very good point, and I want to touch on this without making you cry a whole lot. You talked about filling the cup. Is there somebody, you said that your soulmate was out there and that you possibly met them and all this stuff, but do you think you can find someone right now that has the ability to love you enough to fill that cup?
I have it from multiple people. I feel very blessed and very lucky. Not sexually like that.
No,
I mean,
I'm not even talking about sexually.
When you're talking about filling my cup.
I'm talking romantically. That this person can fill your cup enough to where you're looking at them and going, they're my partner. And it sustains.
Yeah, I will forever be the optimist and believer in that. And I expect that. And I believe absolutely in that. And like I said in the dating episode, though, I feel like they will find me. I just don't know when that's going to happen. And I am not the driver in the driver's seat. So I don't know if I'm going to do whatever I'm doing right now and just keep doing it. And then one day my kids need to put me in an assisted living. They never will. I'll kill them. But, you know.
We can hang out together.
The ownership.
The
ownership home.
Yeah.
Take ownership over your golden ages.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
When Ryan's like, bye, Dad. You and I can be hanging out together in our cute little like motorized wheelchairs.
And when they look for the yellow logo, they'll just be old people pee-pee stains on the sheets. That's terrible. The branding, the marketer in me. I'm like, what looks like our logo in the home? It's going to look
splatter.
Like everybody peed everywhere.
It's a paint splatter.
Terrible. This has gone so the wrong direction.
No,
listen to me. I mean, I believe, and I am an optimist, that he will find me. But I just am so multifaceted, and the reality of my life and lifestyle and who I am and where I'm at, it's going to take a really darn incredible man. And I'm telling you, it'll surprise me and knock me off my feet. And I'll know him when I see him, and he will already have seen me. That's the difference. He will already have saw found me, and I'll just be catching up to him as best I can.
I love that.
I just don't know when that's happening. I believe that in my core. I mean, I mentioned that, I alluded that to in our dating podcast, but here's the thing. The world, the universe, love is infinite, right? So what if what I just said to you doesn't maybe happen in this lifetime? Maybe it's meant for the next one. I don't know what the time frame is on this, but that's what I really said is what profound, I believe. Really. But that's what I'm saying, Jay. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't expect the love I'm talking about and who I know this person to be something that could happen tomorrow. I don't know. I can't tell you when this person's going to show up, but I can tell you one thing. I, at this point, will not waver on my position on where I'm going with it. And I'm not going to fill space to fill space. I'm quite comfortable waiting for that. And because that is absolutely worth it. And I know that value on a spiritual higher level. And I am quite okay with it maybe not being in this time frame. It might not happen in this one. And I think only the reason why I feel that way is because I've been on death's doorstep multiple times. And I am very comfortable losing souls and them coming back. We talked about that in the last two podcast episodes back on miscarriage. So I don't know if it's just my experience and my relationship with God and the world we live in and souls and spirits and just knowing what will be, but it is not linear and there is no extension on love. And I do believe in reincarnation and I do believe in souls come when they're meant to come and when they're going to be, they're going to be. But the love you're talking about, if I'm hearing you correct,
you are,
is a love you wait for.
Oh, and with
that,
doubt.
Okay. So with that being said, am I an optimist and would I like to experience that right now in this lifetime? Yes, yeah. Abso-fucking-lutely. But the reality is this might not be that time. This might be a life lesson. And my time on this earth is not for that space. My time right now might be for another. I have another purpose here and another mission and another call and another reason why I'm in this avatar and in this body and doing what I do. And that's not what's on the ticket for this job, for this body and this time on the earth. I don't know.
All I can say is wow.
You know?
No, you went really deep. You went very profound just now. And
that's love to me, though. When I say I love, I'm talking about those deep levels.
I get it, but it took me back because, again, for me, I love many people, you included.
Yes.
But as you and I have talked before, I'm still waiting for that person to come and love me more than, I know you love me, but in a way that someone can love a partner. So what you just said, it's deep and profound, like I said, and it takes me aback and going, damn, you know, do I need to shift my perspective a little bit more on what I'm putting? I feel like, am I boxing myself in?
I mean, one perspective I can give you is, why not just have your cake and eat it too? Which I am very convicted and I'm very, obviously very clear on the love I expect and want if I'm going to go the distance, right? Why can I not have, like I said, embrace love, give it out freely, because it's not going to take away or hold that space for the ultimate love I'm looking for. Do you know what I'm saying? And in the meantime, why not have love and relationships based around love, respect, light, all these things, whether they're with the same sex, opposite sex, irrelevant, kids, family, strangers. So I give out love freely and I mean it when I say I love you. I mean, in our podcast, I think it was 11, that's the first podcast where I literally sent out love, but I really meant to send it out. I was intentionally sending out the love I could send out through this little microphone, you know, and these cameras filming us right now. And I meant it, and hopefully someone felt it. And that would be rad. I would love to give that.
That'd be epic, to be honest.
You know, but
I'm gonna be 100% dead serious right now.
But do I need to, in this lifetime, accomplish that ultimate one? No, I would love to. It'd be mind blowing. It'd be beyond ecstatic. But there's other levels of love that can fill the gap without filling that space.
I get it. And I want to say something to you right now, because that you used it. I wanted to make sure that you got what you needed to out.
I'm good.
But the fact that you, what you said is that somebody listening to us or somebody watching you, especially when we were talking about what we were talking about a few episodes ago, could feel that emotion and could feel that love coming from you. That's amazing. Because again, I can't comprehend. I remember we talk about a deep subject, and I'm a guy. But to feel that energy coming through a screen or somebody listening to it, that's huge.
I meant it.
I know you did. I'm not taking away at all. What I'm saying is that crosses boundaries that cannot even be explained.
Okay, so the love that you're talking about is one that cannot be explained in our little minds with our little limited time on this earth. And it would absolutely transcend the average 74 years of life. And in my opinion, you're like a lotto winner if you got that full puzzle piece of love in this lifetime.
Yeah, you're right. I can't agree with you more.
So, wow. We love L-O-V-E.
Got deep on that one too.
Mi amore, you know.
I want to throw some. I am going to throw some Dean Martin back in when we do it. You know, just a little that's amore.
Oh my gosh! Now I'm going to want a pizza.
Ooh,
pizza pie,
pasta. Ooh, damn!
Now I'm making a meatball.
Anyhow,
I know
we did get deep, and I love it.
I know. So. I love the love. It's my thing. Well, anyways, if you enjoyed this podcast episode, whether you're watching it on YouTube, hi, it's nice to have you see us, I guess. Or if you're listening to us on your favorite platform, please subscribe, share, and don't forget to connect with either myself at Allison Andrews Cantor on Instagram or take_ownership. You can also go online at take-ownership.com to schedule your 15-minute strategy session with me, and it would be my honor and privilege to get to coach you. So until you hear from me in 2 weeks and producer Jay with whatever hot topic we come at you with, I don't know where we're going on this ride. We are on a journey and we're just letting it unfold. Until then, I challenge you. What is something you can do to take ownership over your life?
If you liked today's episode, be sure to subscribe, share, and like. Don't forget to get your tickets for the upcoming Ownership Launch Party on Sunday, June 9th. We will be celebrating all that is ownership with a book signing, group coaching sessions, and even a live podcast recording. Be sure to get your tickets now because this exclusive event will sell out. For more information and to connect with Ownership, visit our website at take-ownership.com.